All right, brothers, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful to be with my brothers tonight. Amen. Grateful that we can sing praises to you, that we can think about your word, that we can greet one another and encourage one another to remain faithful. Right. Father, to hang on, to continue following you. Father, to serve you in greater ways. Father, I pray that tonight each one of us will be encouraged in such a way.
Yes.
Father, if there are visitors tonight, I pray that you would work on their hearts to enable them to come to you, to see you, to fall in love with you. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word and see what it has to say tonight for our hearts. Yes. I pray thanks for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so what I wanted to do is talk about something that is really big that's going on in my life. It's really weird. I work for Turner Broadcasting, and we've been in the news a lot.
Yes.
And this week I started getting texts, are you okay? Does this affect you? And, you know, I'm not going to go there right now, but the fact is, yes, ultimately I work at Turner, so I am affected by what's going on. But the thing that seems to be going on, a continuous theme, if you think about it, that's going on in our lives, is change. I mean, if there's one thing that's very prevalent in our lives, I think like no other time, is change. When you think about it, there's so much going on. Obviously, I spoke about employment, our jobs. There's always change going on there, things that are going on at work. You know, there's things that's going on if you're in school, and if you're a teen, and you're having new teachers, and you're addressing, you know, new situations that you have never faced before. We've got guys that have just started high school. We've got guys that are seniors. Big changes. We have folks that are about to get out of college, and it's like, big changes are coming, you know? We've got our children. They're changing before our eyes. They're growing up and going, who is this person? I thought I knew them, and now it seems like they've gone and changed on me. Our culture is changing dramatically. In just the last few decades, I mean, our culture is so radically different than how it's been in the past in so many ways. Our technology. Yes. I mean, think about it. I have been with Turner for 24 years. Wow. When I started with Turner, there were no cell phones. When I started with Turner, there was no computers in my work. They introduced that shortly after I came on, and they said, we send each other CC mails. I want you to think about that. So much has changed in just a short period of time. Our bodies are changing. We got a mixed room here. We've got teens. And some of us are getting older, right? Things keep changing on, but there is that one thing that we can count on. Change is a coming. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon tells us there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. You know, tonight, I've titled my lesson, It's Time for a Change. If you have a piece of paper, I want you to take it out, get your pen, and I want you to write down some things for me. I want you right now, and we're not going to share this with anyone, okay? This is for you. I want you to write down the top three things. Top one thing's okay, but I guarantee you, you probably have more than one. The top three things your wife or your children or your friends or your bosses or what you've read in the scripture have told you that you need to change. You follow what I'm saying? Don't think about it too hard. It needs to come like this. What have you been told over and over and over? Steve, you need to change this. You've heard it. Again, what pops into your mind? What comes to you right away? That's probably the correct answer. Through the years, you've been told you need to change it. You need to stop doing this. Or you need to start doing this. If you're having any trouble, let me help you. Because I've gone through the process of, in preparation for this. Okay? Am I easily angry? Am I impatient? Do I lack confidence? I'm not leading my family. I am not close to God. Stop the lying. Stop the impurity. So what have you been asked about your behavior over and over again? Why are you so afraid? Why are you so harsh to me? Why are you so lazy? Don't you care? Do you love me? I'm just giving you some ideas. Are you guys done? It doesn't take too long, does it? Let me just say, if you aren't sure what to write down, or if you're uncertain what to write down, I want you to write this down. I'm a prideful dog. I'm being serious.
Yeah.
If you had a hard time with this exercise, that's what you need to write in. Now I want you to write down a question. Why haven't I changed this? That is the $25,000 question. Why haven't I changed this? You see, your wife wants you to change this. Children want you to change this. God wants you to change it. Your friends want you to change it. So why are you still doing it? Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
We all know something that everyone wants us to change. And we haven't done it. So I want you, and this is a time where I need some audience participation. You've been participating on your own. Again, we're not going to share this, but what we do need to talk about is why we don't change it. What are the reasons? Guys, in saying these things, we just need to be open. Okay? I mean, if we can be open about this, it'll get to the root of how we get to changing it.
Right.
Yes?
It's not that big of a sin. It's not that big of a sin.
Okay.
So it's not like sexual morality or cheating or something. So it's not that big of a deal.
Okay, we rationalize it.
Right.
I got you.
Self-control. not being able to control, or having that feeling of loss control.
Okay. It just feels like it's out of your control. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Yeah, Joe.
Like either being more compassionate, or more loving, that I have my own thoughts and I have my own ways of thinking about situations, and that's the overriding thing. That becomes more important than any, you know, I suppose it becomes more important than righteousness.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Kyle. It's comfortable. You know, it's comfortable feeding that sinful nature. You know, whether it's getting easily angered, going to a place where you start focusing so much on yourself, you might be shutting down and causing a lot of making everybody in the house walk on eggshells, stuff like that. It's very comfortable. Instead of fighting to change, where it's very uncomfortable, you're going to do what you want to do.
Okay. Yeah.
When I don't get it, I don't understand or see myself in the mirror, and that's usually when I don't take any action.
Okay, can everyone hear that?
When I don't get it and I don't see myself in the mirror, that's when I don't really take action toward changing anything.
Okay. Mike?
Just laziness, just being lazy.
Okay, go ahead, bro.
Lack of submission to God. Not want to be totally submitted.
Okay. I'm going to come over to this side of it. Go ahead. Yeah, but, go ahead.
You haven't made the want to change that important. Mm.
Okay.
Take it serious.
All right. Ben.
It's just scary with uncertainty where the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's not what it looks like. That's not how it feels. And that's like a situation. So I choose not to believe that.
Okay, go on.
Fear failure. What if I can't change this? What does that make me?
Okay, great. Jeff?
I think you can take focus.
I'm sorry?
Focus.
Focus.
You know, something I got to think about all the time, not just sort of. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thinking that I still have time. Mm. There's more, you know, I'll have time later on to fix it.
Just not urgent.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess just not having a healthy fear of God, and I guess just piggybacking on what Brother just said, is not really realizing that I need to change this right now.
Do you guys see how you're teaching each other right now? We know our reasons, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is anyone surprised by these reasons? Does any of them sound unfamiliar to us? No. You know, we have our favorite reason, but we've probably used most of these reasons, haven't we, for not changing. All right, so let me see if I had anything different here, okay? We don't really see things as they really are. We don't see how much it affects our lives and the lives around us. We don't see the pain it causes and the hurt. We rationalize it by focusing on what they do to hurt us instead. It's hard to change. Sin can be addictive. We've made our sins and vices our bad habits. We've allowed them to be a part of our character. We're afraid to change. If I change, I'm going to lose some friends. We lack the faith to change. We are comfortable with just the way things are. No thanks, I'm good, I'm okay. And we're so prideful we won't admit there really is something wrong. That was my list. Excellent job, guys. So let's look at a scripture to help us, okay?
Amen.
Matthew 18. When we say Matthew 18, we all want to look at something where someone's done something against us, right?
Yeah.
We jump to that. It's a long chapter. There's other stuff in Matthew 18, okay? In fact, in Matthew 18, verse 1, it starts with Jesus having a big conversation with his disciples. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to them and placed the child among them. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come. But woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. We'll stop there. This is a very interesting chapter, and particularly these verses. There's a companion narration of this in Mark chapter 9. And what we learn there is that the disciples had been arguing amongst themselves about who was the greatest. So they're actually following Jesus and having an argument, you know, I'm the leader, I'm the greatest, I have the most talent, I'm the smart guy, you know, that's why I'm here. Can you imagine that conversation, how it must have been going down? And so now they're having such an argument, hey Jesus, you tell us who's the greatest here. Which one of us is the best? I want you to think about that. Isn't that wild? And so I want you to imagine he takes a little child and he pulls him and he has them circle around, and I imagine that he has this child right here, and then he says what he just said. And the little kid's probably like, why am I here? I don't know what's going on. Can you imagine how mortifying that was? To be a disciple. You know, that's that moment when you realize, oh, I am wrong. I am in a world of hurt. I'm a mess. Can you imagine what that was like? When you look at this, he tells them very specifically. And he is speaking directly to his disciples, and it's here for us as well. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That is one of the most frightening things I've heard Jesus say. These are the men who have given up everything to follow him, who have parts of their character that are just jacked up. They're no different than us. But they've seriously committed themselves to follow Jesus. They're in error. And now they know they're in error. And Jesus tells them, unless you change. Unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word change in this translation is also referred to as be converted. Unless you be converted. Think about what that means. This means we must make a spiritual change. We must have a change of heart, in a change of mind. then we can change our actions. And he's calling for that in this situation, unless you be converted. So why did Jesus use a child in this example and say, unless you become like this little child? He wasn't talking about a teen or a middle schooler. Because then a man might not want to change and become like them. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just saying that. We all have good developed sinful natures by that time. He's talking about a young child here. So what is it about a young child that we need to become one?
Yeah. They're easy to forgive.
Okay.
They don't hold grudges. They don't get bitter or angry.
Great.
Innocent.
Yeah, go ahead.
Innocent.
Yes. Yeah, just a pure view of things.
Pure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Everything. Everything that a kid represents.
Okay. Yeah, bro.
I'd have to say train. You can train a child in the way he should go.
They're trainable. They're teachable.
Yeah. Peter. Well, same point. They're willing to be wrong. I can't be wrong.
Right. Okay. So yeah, it's that lack of guile and pride. Yes, bro.
They love unconditionally.
Right. Amen. Let me come back over here, Jeff.
They tend to see their need for help. Mm. Or reliance. More
reliance. Helplessness. Kendall.
Joyful. Fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amen. Yes, Art.
They desperately want to become like the person they admire the most.
Right. They want to be like their father.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ben.
When you say something, they take you at your word. They don't wonder or doubt. It's just, you said that, so that's true.
Great. So, we know that children are humble at a young age. They're free from envy and pride. They're full of trust and love. They're teachable. They're not about their authority or their station or their position. They're apt to follow and obey. Brothers, look at verse 6. I want you to take special notice of this. He says right after that, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. Now, obviously, if you cause a little child to stumble, there's an issue, but he's talking about disciples here as well.
Yeah.
He's talking about other disciples that by our behavior, by our sin, by our words and actions and deeds that we cause to stumble, like our wives, like our children, like a brother or a sister. You see how we're connected here, and he holds this up to us, and if we're causing others to stumble by what we're doing, there is a serious consequence to this, that we're purposely, knowing that we're doing it, not changing it, we're in a scary place. You see, it's one thing if we're doing something because we're not aware of it, and then someone makes us aware and we go, I'm done with it. But it's another when we've been told, stop doing that. You need to stop doing that. You're doing that over. That's hurting me. You're hurting the kids. You're hurting our faith. And you keep doing it, you are in a very bad place. And let me tell you, brothers, I don't care how old you are. You know, sometimes, oh, that's Steve. That's just Steve.
Come on, bro.
You know, we've all told him that for years. That's just Steve. We cannot allow that to happen in the church.
Amen.
That's a sinful statement to say, oh, that's just him. You have to kind of put up with it. Baloney. No, we need to have an expectation for people to change, and we need to have an expectation of ourselves to change.
Amen.
We cannot, because we're older or we're young, use these things as an excuse for not dealing with our sin, what we know about. We are in a very scary place, according to this. Because if we're causing other people to stumble by our behavior, he's saying it's better off for you to be drowned in the ocean. Jesus said that. That's a wake-up call.
Oh, yeah.
Are you injuring the faith of your wife? We just need to think about, how is your behavior and sin impacting her or another brother or sister? Are you causing someone to stumble? That's a scary place. Do we need any more motivation than that? I mean, there's not much more I can say than that. Look at the attitude we are to have about our sins in verse 8. He says, if your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. How radical a thought.
Right.
I mean, who's going to do that? But his point is, how radical are you going to be to stop doing what you're doing?
Amen.
Because it's better to enter life, that's heaven, eternal life, maimed or crippled, than to have two hands and 2 feet and be thrown into eternal fire. He's talking about there is a judgment day. You can't make this rationalization and put it off and then face judgment knowing that you never changed something you knew was wrong. Guys, there is grace, but if you are purposely sinning and you know about it and you're not doing anything about it and you've accepted it, you're in a scary place.
Amen.
And you need to change.
That's right. That's right.
Look how serious Jesus is about sin.
Right.
It's better to lose a limb than to sin.
Yeah, right, right.
So what are you doing to keep yourself from sinning?
It's good. It's good.
He's speaking to his disciples, warning them of the fire of hell if they will not change. We just have to get a sober understanding of what is at stake for being unwilling to change. Especially the fact that we are knowing we're doing something wrong. I have just set before you the standard of the Word of God.
Amen.
It's not my standard. This is God's standard.
Right.
This is what he's telling us that he expects. Be converted or you won't enter the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
If something is causing you to stumble, you must react to that cause, that thought, that attitude, that temptation radically, or risk the fire of hell by holding on to it. It's time for a change.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to you as a person who hasn't got to deal with this himself. I need to make that very clear to you. My journey in life hasn't been one of, as soon as I find out something's wrong, I've dealt with it. I wish I could say that, but it's just not true. It is far from true. I got married at the age of 21. I didn't know anything about being a husband. I wanted to follow God. But guess what? I didn't even know I wasn't a disciple until after I had been married for 8 years. I had messed up a lot by that time. And I had already impacted the way that my wife thought about me and her attitudes towards me, and I established patterns that were very, very difficult to stop. Because in marriage, what will happen is that you sin against each other, and you can hold the other one as the reason for why you won't change.
Right, true.
Because they sin.
Right.
Yeah.
And until they stop hurting me, I'm not going to stop.
That's true.
And we get into that kind of stuff. And we hold on to our positions. And when she says this, I react this way. And when she does that, I do this. And I do this, and she does that. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's been my life.
Come on, bro.
Yeah. It got so bad that our relationship was in incredibly serious straits. And over the years, I can remember a brother being in my kitchen with my wife and I, and we were fighting. And he said all he could do, and he just was like, he was out of words. Because she was so dug into where she was at, I was so dug into where I was at, and we weren't going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And the brother just went, and he left. I say this to my shame, but I know I'm not alone here.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Steve.
You're right, bro.
Come on. Come on, Steve.
So what happened? How did I get out of that? I got so miserable and tired of that being my life and knowing it was wrong that I decided that the only thing I could control was me.
Right. Amen. That's right.
And I decided that I was going to pray about me and my attitudes and my sins and what I needed to work on. And I focused on several things, like these things that you wrote down tonight. I could have written a list of 20 things, but I chose 3 things. And of those, I prioritized the big thing that was getting in the way of my marriage. And I said, I'm going to change this.
Amen.
I'm going to fix this. And I told everyone, I'm going to do this. And I said, pray for me about this. And I just zeroed in on it, and it took years. I hate to say that, but I repented of it as much as I could get a handle of it. Every time I got more of a handle on it, I repented more.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And then it changed. And my marriage is not the same. I actually fear in my heart that no matter what I changed, I wondered if my wife would ever be able to respect me again. Because of what I'd already done. And I can tell you the answer is yes.
It is.
Amen.
It is. And I'm trying to encourage you. There are some really tough character issues that we have, that we have nurtured and we have guarded and we have protected and we have said it's okay and we're not changing. You can change it.
Amen.
I want you to know that. You see, when we became disciples, we got onto the path of victory. That's the path we're supposed to be on. We have received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, God in us. How can we linger in sin when the Almighty has given His deposit guaranteeing our salvation? We cannot grieve the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
We must not continue in sin.
Amen.
We must have victory.
Mm-hmm.
When was your last victory?
Come on, bro.
When can you point to it and say, this was such a part of my life, and I have victory. I want every one of you to be able to have witness that you can share the power of God at work in your life because you decided to change and repent, that you have a story that you can tell.
Amen.
A changed marriage, a changed relationship with your child, a better relationship with the family of God, a better relationship with God Himself. Turn to Romans 6. In verse 16, we're going to be reminded of some of the things that we already know. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey?
Yep.
whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Brothers, the expectation in turning to God is becoming a slave of righteousness.
Amen.
We've been slaves to sin. You are now to serve God in righteousness. The path we started out leads towards holiness. That's where we have to keep going and going and going. We will have setbacks, but our path is to holiness and eternal life. That's the walk. We are following Jesus Christ. Amen. He leads us towards heaven. We must change. Amen. Our lives are to be one of continuous transformation.
Amen.
It says this many times in the scriptures. In Romans 12 verse 2, in our final verse, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Amen.
You know what? We are surrounded by a pattern of this world. We are pressed to conform to the pattern. We are pushed and mushed, and we are told to be different is to be wrong. Our thoughts, our thinking are all affected by our music and our shows and our books and our coworkers and our schools and our educations. We are being tried to be pressed into this pattern and conform to the world. But we must be transformed.
Amen.
We must be renewed. We have
Amen.
To break out.
Amen.
We were slaves to that at one time.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you have been set free if you're Amen. A disciple.
Amen.
You can no longer conform to these ways.
Amen.
We can no longer follow the world's pattern.
That's right.
We as disciples are against prevalent thought. We are countercultural.
Right.
We are going to be different. Amen. We're going to be weird.
Amen.
What other people say you can't change, or that's just Steve, we're going to say Steve needs to change it.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's what has to happen.
Amen.
We are to be transformed. We are supposed to be constantly changing in how we act and think to become more like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is what discipleship is.
Right.
We are following Christ. We are wanting to become like Him. We want to become like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You cannot do that holding on to your list.
That's right.
And saying it's okay.
That's right.
As you become more like Christ, your thinking changes. Your thinking is changed. You are renewed. Now you're a different man. Now you see something to change. You work on changing it. Now you're a different man. You're thinking more like Christ. Now you're changing something else. You can't stop.
That's right.
You can't go, oh, that's good enough. No. It is a walk of transformation.
That's right.
Some of us have gotten stuck. And we said, good enough. I followed Jesus to this point. I can still see. Wrong thinking.
That's right.
Take a look at your sheet. What did you write down? You need to think, why haven't I changed it? And now, what am I going to do about it? It's time to make a change.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, your word really impacts our hearts and minds. Father, I pray that we have seen something tonight and that we won't walk away from it and forget what we've seen. I pray that we will hold before us the things that we need to work on, the things that must change, the things that have hurt others, that have hurt ourselves, that have caused other people to stumble, that have caused people to think that they can't change because we don't change. Father, we ask your forgiveness.
Amen.
We ask your Holy Spirit to be at work in our minds and our hearts to change us and to move us from where we're stuck. Father, to open our eyes clearly. Father, to not back away, to not give in to fear or doubt. Father, renew our faith. Lord, we ask for your help at this time. And we ask that we will lead the way for our families, that we will teach our children and our wives and our friends what we are learning in this walk.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you will give us victory.
Amen.
That we will truly have stories of change, that we can share with others and say, you can do this.
Yes.
Father, we want to live the life that you have called us to, a life of abundance. A life of victory, of overcoming very fearful things. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're dismissed.